Well, the situation for the people was absolutely terrible. And of course, that's well documented and well reported. But, you know, the thing is that, of course, because the refugee crisis is such a vast phenomenon, at times you have, what one journalist called sort of media fatigue, where people, at certain times it would be less reported. And one of the things that sort of, I astonished me when I was out on the road was that it was a lot of the things that we were seeing were not really being reported at all at the time. And some of the things that we saw, such as in Idomeni, where many thousands of people were caught in a transit camp when the borders were blocked. And, it was just extraordinary to see how terrible the conditions were there. And, in relation to how little reporting there was. Of course, later on in Idomeni, a lot of refugees left the camp and went into Macedonia. And that was actually very well reported. But, before that, it was, I just couldn't believe some of the things that I was seeing. It was pretty strange sort of thing to witness firsthand, yes.
You traveled the so-called Balkan route. Which places have you been interested in?
Originally, we went, a lot of times when people, I guess, shoot a documentary, there's a sort of quite a clear idea of itinerary and where they're going. But one of the things one of the freedoms that Basti and I had was we were in a van and we had a very small budget. And so we set out and our idea was simply to sort of follow where we felt was most relevant at the time. And so, at one stage we were going to go into Turkey, but then things developed very, very suddenly when the borders closed along the Balkan route. So we sort of changed direction from there. But we spent most of our time in Greece because, yes, so much was happening then. You had the EU-Turkey pact, and of course that had sort of massive implications for the people coming over. You had the Balkan route shutting down, all the borders actually shutting down. So you had this huge sort of bottleneck of refugees in the north of Europe, of Greece. And so as a result, most of our time was actually spent in Greece, which wasn't what we actually set out to do. But we were obviously reacting to the political backdrop. And I think with the film that we shot, The March of Hope, one of the interesting things about it is that, everyone, of course, was noticing the sort of macro political developments at the time. But actually what the film is documenting is the realities on the ground, how these vast macro decisions are actually affecting not just the refugees, but the locals and the aid workers and, what people are really going through on the human level.
And what has been your role when you traveled the camps and routes? Did you exchange with the people?
Yes, there wasn't a specific role. We set out to discover for ourselves, and we were shooting a documentary. But the sort of, I think this question of the role is very interesting because, as things developed and as a situation developed, we found ourselves in sort of situations that we weren't expecting. And, of course, if you're shooting a documentary, there's a sort of sense of objectivity. You are, you're observing and you are trying to assess things. And, that's a sort of maybe the classic way of shooting a documentary. But, what we found, for instance, on the beaches of Lesbos, and one of the things that, surprised us so much was that actually there wasn't enough assistance. There were many sort of independent and smaller NGOs there, but there wasn't sort of the type of assistance coming from sort of the European Union, for instance, that we would have expected. And we were pretty surprised by that. And, one of the things that we find that when we're actually on the beaches is that actually, when some of these terrible boats came in, we had to just, actually sort of get rid of what we were doing and just try and help out because there was nothing else to do. So, that was what I would say was the point where we stopped being objective observers of the situation and actually became subjectively involved, became participants, if you like. And that was, you know, the response of necessity, and it was a response of the human heart. And, you know, these are the things that teach you to be human, because, of course, when you see suffering in front of you, you know, you quickly have to make a choice, you know, and you know, the things that make us human are to want to help and to, you know, to stop suffering or to alleviate some suffering. So it was an amazing education as a human being on so many levels.
If you saw the harsh life conditions of the people on the Balkan route, why did you choose to title your movie March of Hope?
Well, I think that's a good question, and there are a lot of different reasons. But, you know, I think the tragedies of the situation, you know, are well documented, and, you know, very often refugees and, you know, vulnerable people are sort of objectivized, and, you know, the situation is talked about through statistical terms. It's talked about through the phenomenon of migration. And the experience that most struck me was actually getting to know people on the ground. And what surprised me so much were these small experiences and witnessing how people going through a sort of situation that I could never have, you know, imagine to go through. You know, you're talking about people who have arrived on another continent, who can't speak the language, who have, you know, it's like biblical, who've come over, you know, on the waters in the middle of the night in storms, and who find themselves in mud and, you know, trapped at borders and have no information. And yet, when I was with so many of these people, I discovered this. First of all, this sense of courage, this ability to laugh in the face of the blackness. You know, one of the things that kept on happening to me was being invited into people's tents to, you know, and food being shared, these small, you know, little things. And so when I was there, I was like, wow, you know, this is the thing that doesn't get reported so much. And, you know, this is something that I, you know, was also privileged to be invited into some of these situations and, you know, to be, as a documentary filmmaker, to be given these stories. And it's like, well, what are you going to do with this? You know, and it becomes a sort of sense of responsibility. So, you know, the March of Hope is, you know, the hope is really coming from this extraordinary thing that I've witnessed in the human spirit, which is, you know, which is true courage, which is true perseverance, which is, you know, this power of human beings seeking somewhere safe to live. And when you witness that, you know, you realize that there's something far more powerful than the tragedy and the sadness. And that is the courage of human spirit. And, you know, and that's why I called the film The March of Hope.
Talking about privileges, how did you deal with questions of representation and self-representation? The question of, is it necessary that another white filmmaker is making a movie about refugees, or how can the people who fled to Europe tell their stories by themselves?
Oh, it's a very good question. I mean, I was just a couple of weeks ago invited to go and participate in the Yala exhibition, and which has been actually created by a friend of mine called Rizam, who himself is a refugee who's come over. And, you know, this is the whole point, is that, you know, it's, you know, people actually, you know, to represent yourself, you need, you know, you sure. I mean, I know some people who are in Armenia, and they made a channel called Refugee TV, and they were, you know, they were doing their bit. But I think in these situations, it's a, you know, it's a question of people standing up and, you know, having a conversation about what the values of our civilization are. And, you know, I sort of look out and I look at the sort of, you know, inability of people to speak at the moment, and the sort of, you know, all the anger that is out there. And it's like, well, how do you confront that? How do you, you know, what do you do? Do you sit at home and write comments on, you know, on Facebook and the rest of it? Or is there something sort of more proactive that you can do? And so, you know, I mean, this question of privilege, it's like, well, I think, you know, people will always have their own opinions, and they're very, very welcome to. But from my perspective, you know, it's about how does one engage, you know, how can one contribute oneself? And I think you can think yourselves into intellectual corners here. And actually, I think that, you know, that we have to use the tools that we have, because, you know, these problems are not just being solved by politicians at the moment. And So I think it's a question of, well, I think the privilege is not doing anything. And I think that's one of the things that I think, yes.
Several movies were made who try to portray the situation of refugees arriving in Europe. What can this kind of filmmaking make happen? And what are the limits of such a cinematic involvement?
Well, I think that's it's another very, very good question, because, you know, this is like one of the things that I'm trying to do with the March of Hope, is that, you know, can you just put on a film in a cinema or release it online and expect, you know, it to really have a proper impact or to, you know, make change? Of course, I believe in the arts. You know, I think that if you make something that transports an idea in a way that moves the human heart or the human mind, that can be a great contribution. But this is something that I don't want to just rely on this sort of passive experience that people, you know, would have in a cinema. And, you know, how would you do that? Well, I mean, what I'm trying to do, you know, with the film is to do active campaigns that actually have a direct impact. So, for instance, there was one of the campaigns we ran was called The Boat for Sarah, which was about raising money for a search and rescue boat, which is now operational on the Mediterranean, or has been till very recently, and we raised 20,000 euros for that. That was an active thing that we did. There's another project and campaign that we're doing is raising funds to doctors to go over to Samos in December, and going into schools as well. So there's a lot of different sort of smaller types of activities that we're getting